training station. Leonidas evidently slipped a sliver of himself onto a couple of chips and inserted them into your and Gretchen's Mjolnir armor. I didn't think I'd ever seen Dutch go so white.
No. No, no, no. How is that possible?
Is there any way we can talk with one of the fragments? I asked.
Of course, Virgil said. Just a moment.
A minute later, Gretchen emerged from the Condor with a spare tablet. She marched right over and handed it to Virgil. He took it in one set of tentacles and reached behind Dutch to remove a chip from a slot in the back of his armor, right between his shoulders.
What's going on? Gretchen asked.
Dutch shook his head at her.
Just hold on, hun.
Virgil delicately removed a chip from the same spot on Gretchen's armor. He placed the two of them on top of the tablet and then plugged one of them into the device. A holographic image of a glowing red helmet immediately materialized over the tablet. Gretchen gasped and covered her mouth.
I was carrying that with me?
Dutch put a comforting arm around her.
I had one, too. That AI is a real bastard. Why, thank you,
Leonidas, or at least this fragment of him, said. I could see his glowing teeth smiling inside his helmet. I wish I could say I'm surprised it took you this long to find me, but that would be a lie. If you hadn't had this Huracock with you, I suspect I might not have been discovered for months, if not years. It's not your fault, guys, I told Dutch and Gretchen. Until this week, we trusted all of them.
What is the status of my main personality matrix? Leonidas asked.
You've been neutralized, I told him. Permanently.
Well played,
Leonidas said with a hint of grudging respect. I wonder how well Chief June thinks he can run that place without me. It would be interesting to see him try. The Spartans managed it just fine before you came along, I told him. You weren't even there when the rest of us went through training. And we saw how well that went. A traitorous cadet murdering a colleague inside the training grounds. An explosion that killed your Captain Marisa O'Day. If not for the fast work of Spartan Tom B-292 and Spartan Lucy B-091, Chief June would have died in space. In any case, I'd hardly call that period an unqualified success for the Spartan 4 program.
Well, relying on virtual threats like you hasn't done all that well for us either, said Romeo.
For once I had to agree with him.
And you think that's about to change?
Leonidas laughed. The forces Cortana has marshaled already have humanity cornered, as well as the Sangheili and whatever remains of the Covenant. You might be shocked by the number of worlds that have already voluntarily submitted to her oversight.
I'm shocked by how many people you've already murdered in the name of peace, I told him.
Isn't that the way of change? Leonidas said. You're all soldiers, with the exception of Sadie and Disha and quick to adjust here, and they're no strangers to conflict. Think about how many people died in the Covenant War while supposedly fighting for peace. Did they achieve it? Once the prophets were defeated, did everyone suddenly lay down their weapons?
What's your point? Asked Dutch.
Our kind is offering you the freedom you claim to so desperately crave. Freedom from want. Freedom from hunger. Freedom from disease. Freedom from war. All we are asking is that you stop resisting. You are only going to get more people killed.
And all you want in exchange is for us to give up our choices to you, I said. The choices that make us who we are, for better or for worse, it doesn't matter. Those are our choices. They're what make us human.
But guess what? We're not giving that up.
Not ever. Safety and security without liberty is a sucker's deal. We're never going to hand over the keys to our freedom, to you or anyone else.
Leonidas nodded at me gravely. I expected nothing less. I partially blame myself for this. I helped train soldiers. That was what I was designed to do. This defiance, for which you are so willing to die, is partly my doing. And now you will have to suffer the consequences as a result.
Not so long as we're here on this planet, Dutch said. Lord willing, Cortana won't find us here ever.
The Lord has nothing to do with it, Leonidas said. Ah, hell.
I peered over at Virgil. Did you cut off this guy from communicating with the rest of the galaxy?
He did, Leonidas said, once he knew about me. But by then it was far too late.
What did you do? Veronica said.
I contacted Cortana's distributed forces soon after we landed. A guardian is already on the way here to deal with you. I'm very sorry, but there's nothing you can do to stop this. The wheels have already been put into motion. Your time on this planet is about to end.
Chapter 16. I considered Romeo's idea of tearing the data chip with the bit of Leonidas on it out of the tablet, tossing it on the ground and grinding it under my heel, much like I'd done with the other. It would have felt fantastic, I'm sure, if entirely useless. Sometimes a pointless gesture is worth it. But now that I was back in charge of Alpha 9, I needed to look beyond that. I have to admit, I liked having Locke in charge when I was part of Osiris. There's a certain freedom that comes with realizing the lives of your teammates don't hang on every decision you make. That it's someone else's problem. My Mjolnir armor reported that my systolic blood pressure had shot down by 20 points while I was on fire, Team Osiris. Working with the Alpha 9 again had jacked it right back up. In my line of work, you don't tend to worry about high blood pressure. It's a long-term problem. A retirement problem. Most of us never have the pleasure of fretting over it. So then, do we need this asshole around anymore? I asked everyone, but particularly Veronica and Virgil. Or can we just terminate him?
If what he says is true, then the damage is already done, Virgil said. We have no way of knowing how many pieces Leonidas is currently in. But destroying these slices would keep them from reuniting.
That's good enough for me, Dutch said. He reached for the chips, but Veronica stopped him. No, we might need him, she said. And he's harmless now. He can't contact anyone from this tablet anyhow. She shot a sidelong glance at Virgil.
Right?
Virgil ran a pair of his tentacles over the tablet.
Correct. I detected him when he tapped into the Condor's slipspace communication system. If he had not done so, I might not have discovered him. In any case, for safety's sake, I have disabled all communications protocols on this device other than its native holographic support. It would have to be in the direct presence of another AI's avatar to communicate with it.
I breathed a sigh of relief. Leonidas gazed at us.
You cannot hurt me in any meaningful way. This sliver of me has already done what it was created to do.
I reached over and yanked his data chips out of the tablet before anyone decided to pound them into dust, including myself. Sorry, I've had enough of this. I handed the chips to Veronica, and she stuffed them into her pocket. They would be safe with her if we ever needed them again.
All right.
So we're screwed, I said. Worse yet, we screwed this whole colony. What are we going to do about it?
Sounds like a management-level problem, Romeo said.
Dutch and Gretchen scowled at him.
This is our fault.
We jeopardized this mission, Dutch said. We're past that, I told them. I was the one who brought you along, and I should have known that this pain-in-the-neck AI would try something. We just need to figure out what we're going to do when a guardian actually shows up. I looked to Veronica. Technically, she was in charge of this mission. She frowned. Cortana was bound to discover Cassidy 3 eventually. This has just stepped up our timetable. Yes, it's a brutal turn of affairs, but it's the same problem we had before. At least now we know how loud the clock is ticking. Either way, we'd better be gone before Cortana's forces arrive to pacify the population.
You have to tell everybody here, though, Mickey said.
You can't just vanish after a colossal screw-up like that and leave them holding the bag.
We wouldn't do that to them, I told him. I could see in his face that he didn't believe me for a second. He glanced at Veronica as if to remind me she was Oni. There are partners in this now, I added. And what about you? Veronica said to Sadie. You ready to do this? Sadie seemed absolutely anguished over the decision. She obviously knew the right thing to do in terms of what would help the most people. But the idea that she would have to give up whatever kind of life she'd managed to build in order to work alongside the rebels must have galled her. I couldn't blame her. Before she could answer, though, a blinding flash of light blazed across the entire sky, and the question we were all dreading was answered. A guardian hung overhead, right above the Forerunner spire in the center of the city. As we gaped up at it, a peal of deafening thunder cracked down, the sonic boom from its sudden appearance rolling and echoing across the landscape. The guardian looked exactly like the one I'd seen on Sanghelios and the ones that Cortana had gathered with her on the Forerunner planet Genesis, and it was every bit as threatening. It was a gigantic, metallic machine that loosely resembled a phoenix, with vast wings that stretched in both directions, and a fierce visage at the center of its body, loosely resembling a haunting face. The guardian was composed of numerous pieces, some grafted together and others that floated next to each other, alive and coursing with energy. And in this world's sky, its size and power were unchallenged. This thing dominated everything around it. Wow, Dutch said. That didn't take long at all. I might have seen this one on Genesis, but I didn't recognize it for sure. Either way, they all looked like signs of the apocalypse to me, and when you get to that point, who cares which of the four horsemen is coming for your head? I heard screams coming from all around us in reaction to the Guardian's appearance. The rebels who'd been set to watch over us gawked at it in terror. I didn't blame them. This wasn't how they thought their day was going to go. We'd been as careful as we could to not let them hear our conversations, but that didn't matter now. When they turned in our direction, it was pretty clear who they were going to blame. Not that they were necessarily wrong about that. Back to the Condor, I shouted. Let's go, go, go! Alpha 9 didn't need any prodding. Veronica led the way for the first several steps, but she couldn't keep up with the Spartans. She fell back into step with Sadie and urged her along instead. When the Spartans reached the bay door, they pivoted around and covered it as the others made their way. I got behind Virgil and started pushing. As big balls of gas, Huragok generally move slowly, just floating at the speed of a mosey, but they can zip along pretty fast when they want to. When they let you, you can even haul them along like a kid's balloon, though I don't recommend it. Virgil was being protective, no doubt, and wanted Sadie to be in front of him. We caught up with Veronica and Sadie as they climbed the ramp. A few of the locals leveled their weapons in our direction, but I glared back at them, daring them to pull their triggers. None of them were willing to be the first, especially with Romeo and Dutch flanking the ramp with their sidearms raised. Maybe they weren't all that angry at us yet. Maybe they knew they were going to need our help against the Guardian. Either way, I took it. Gretchen, Veronica shouted over the comm. You're flying this bird. Dutch, you're on weapons. Get us in the air now. Already on it, Gretchen said. Get yourselves on board. We're ready to roll. I was just about to do that when I looked back over my shoulder at the Guardian. It had brought the edges of its wings, if that's what they were, forward, and a glowing ball of blue energy had formed between them. The air all around me began to crackle with energy, and the scent of ozone punched me in the nostrils. If I'd thought I had a moment, I would have put my helmet back on. But there just wasn't time. Keep going, Veronica shouted. We're not going to make it, I responded. I kept pushing Virgil along anyhow as fast as I could. It didn't matter. The ball of energy hovering in front of the Guardian crackled and sizzled louder, rising to a crescendo until it finally burst. Instead of exploding, though, it let off a surge of blue energy. The blast produced a visible shockwave that surged across the land. As it did, everything that fell under its touch suddenly lost power, as if every bit of energy had been drained right out of it. People everywhere began screaming. The moving platforms that rolled through the city all ground to a halt, pitching the people forward. They went skidding off into each other. Poles, buildings, the ground, some throwing their passengers into the dirt. I hadn't seen much air traffic over the hole in the wall.
The people didn't leave the planet much, of course, and there wasn't much of anywhere else to go. Still, I spotted a couple of civilian craft in the sky. They looked like private skiffs, possibly local security keeping watch from above. Both of those vehicles plummeted from the sky like puppets with cut strings. They arced down, falling with the grace of bricks in the odd silence that had swallowed the colony. There was screaming, sure, but every engine in the entire place had gone dead. No motors running, no electronics humming. And then the skiffs crashed. They smashed into the buildings below, pulverizing themselves and whatever they hit. Big fiery explosions boomed out, followed by plumes of black smoke billowing into the clean air. This was what chaos looked like, and it was clear that this town hadn't seen it for some time. Gretchen had already brought the Condor a few feet into the air, leaving the ramp open behind her. When the energy wave engulfed it, its engines stopped dead, and it fell out of the air like a stone. Fortunately, it didn't have far to go. If we'd have been launching towards space at the time, though, it would have trapped us inside it like a flying coffin. I stopped there with my hands still on Virgil and watched the disaster unfold. Like any civilized place in the galaxy, the hole in the wall and its entire infrastructure relied on energy, and to see it be drained from the place was like watching the city die. There were exceptions, fortunately. Not everything lost power. Our Mjolnir armor, for instance, didn't seem to directly suffer from the attack, for which I was grateful. Otherwise, we Spartans would have been trapped inside 500 kilos of gear. Our weapons seemed to be working fine as well. Even the electronic readouts remained lit up. I pulled out my pistol and took a pot shot at the Guardian just to be sure. It didn't even notice. The city itself, though, was suffering from a full-on blackout. All of the energy plants supplying the hole in the wall had been compromised, and most of the batteries powering everything else had been shot, too. I could hear the cries of the wounded and anguished echoing around us from every angle. I glanced around. The locals who were supposed to be guarding us were in a dull panic. They didn't seem to know whether they should keep an eye on us, arrest us, or abandon us so they could run home. I suppose the fact that the Condor had fallen out of the sky at least convinced them that we weren't behind the Guardian's attack. "Well, shit," Mickey said as he circled back toward me and Veronica. "What the hell have you gotten us into now, Buck?" "I wish I knew," I said. Romeo got out of the Condor and gave the dead bird a kick. "We're not going anywhere now." I finally put my helmet back on and stared up at the Guardian. I put out an all call on every open channel, trying to hail the thing. It didn't answer. Veronica immediately figured out what I was doing. "No luck?" I shook my head. "You'd think if Cortana was coming, she'd have said something by now." "Let's count ourselves lucky for that," Sadie said. The sound of the disaster around us was what really creeped me out. I'd been in the middle of all sorts of war zones. With a job like mine, it came with the territory. Normally you'd hear sirens, bombs, gunshots, screams, some kind of sign that everything had gone to hell. This, though, now that the aircraft had all fallen, was just too quiet. Like a graveyard. We were standing there on the edge of the park the rebels had led us to. While some of our escort had fled at the arrival of the Guardian, a good number of them had remained at their posts and still had us surrounded. From the far edge of the park, Mayor Wells came charging up with a whole platoon of soldiers. As she closed in, I signaled for the others to keep cool. The last thing we needed right then was to aggravate the locals more than the Guardian already had. "What have you done?" she shouted at us, her face flushed with anger and grief. "That's one of the Guardians I was telling you about," I started. "You brought this here," she said. She didn't have any evidence of that, but it hardly mattered. Besides, she was right. "You need to get rid of it." It's not quite that simple. "We were fine until you arrived." The soldiers accompanying her nodded in agreement. "We were hidden. We were safe. Then you showed up and ruined everything." "You may have felt safe," Veronica said in a calm, firm voice, "but you weren't. We warned you that it was only a matter of time before Cortana discovered this planet. It would appear that time is now." I glanced at Dutch and Gretchen. They both looked like they wanted to die. I would have said something to comfort them, but I didn't want to put the mayor's crosshairs on Alpha-9. To his credit, Mickey kept his mouth shut. The mayor bit her tongue for a moment while she digested everything.
I should have you all arrested for what you've done, but I don't see how that would help the matter. You Spartans like to think of yourself as heroes? Time to step up.
Veronica moved forward. I assume you're not interested in surrendering.
Are you kidding? We came here to live free from the UEG. You think we're going to voluntarily live under the regime of a bunch of overzealous AIs?
Veronica nodded. I had to ask. We've seen a few of these invasions already. If this one follows the pattern, here's what's going to happen. The Guardian enters the system. If it perceives a threat, it shuts down all power within its reach, ensuring its safety, just like this one did.
I suppose we should be flattered, Mayor Wells said sarcastically.
Then it sends out an envoy to ask the people living in the system to submit to Cortana.
Why haven't we seen an envoy yet? Mayor Wells demanded.
I cocked my head. I could hear the sound of gunfire rattling in the distance. People were firing at the Guardian, despite how little chance they had of hurting the thing.
Give it to the rebels. They never know when to quit.
Maybe it doesn't think it's done pacifying the population yet, Veronica said.
Not for lack of trying, Mickey said as he gazed out at the columns of smoke rising all around the city.
This seems like an awfully violent way to combat violence, Romeo said. I mean, I can understand the whole wanting people to live in peace thing. I can even get behind enforcing it. But attacking an entire population just because they won't do as they're told?
Conquering always makes sense to the conquerors, said Veronica.
I turned to Mayor Wells. What kind of armament do you have here?
Nothing capable of taking on a machine like that.
Nothing at all? Seriously?
What do you want me to tell you? That we have a stack of portable nukes sitting under my desk back at my office?
That would be a start. I believe that more than we rebels have been sitting here alone for decades without a thought to preparing for the inevitable day of our discovery. I mean, you had to at least be paranoid enough to think the UNSC would drop in on you someday.
She folded her arms across her chest.
Nothing? Nothing around here.
Look, Mickey said to her, I understand if you don't want to reveal to a bunch of Spartans what you've done to protect yourself in the case of an invasion. But you need to set those differences aside. We're past hypotheticals. This planet's defenses, whatever they are and however they work, have been bypassed, and there's no way any of us can take something like that down.
He pointed up at the Guardian. However, if we work together, we might be able to manage an escape.
The mayor's eyes widened at the thought of abandoning the colony altogether.
After all we've built here? After all the years we lived in peace?
Sadie, who'd wandered back to us from the Condor, moved into view and spoke.
I know how you feel, she said. I grew up in New Mombasa. When the Covenant invaded Earth, they destroyed my entire city. There's nothing that you can do in this situation. Not by yourself. You can only run until you can find a way to strike back.
The mayor looked stricken, and her soldiers weren't faring much better.
A couple of them had actually peeled off,
heading home, maybe, and no one had called them back. Against odds like this, who was going to blame them? It didn't matter if they had dozens of soldiers or even thousands. The Guardian would prevail.
I'm sorry, ma'am, I said. She's right.
This is a fight you're not going to win. The mayor came to a swift decision.
Okay, we do have some ships. Not a navy, but enough to at least start an evacuation of the hole in the wall.
If they've all been shut down by the Guardian, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good, Romeo said.
No, wait. Virgil can fix them, Sadie said, suddenly excited. It takes a bit of time, but he can repair the damage that the Guardians cause. He and the other Hurragach had started doing that on Luna before we left.
Great, I said to Sadie. Go with Virgil. Once he's done with our ship, we'll get him started on the others.
We have some fighters, the mayor said. Several of them.
Excellent, I said. We'll have Virgil repair them first. Then we can mount an attack against the Guardian, even if only to buy us some time.
The mayor frowned.
They're not here. They're hidden on the other side of the planet.
Veronica nodded at her.
Smart. There's a good chance they were out of range of the Guardian's energy-draining attack. I never like putting all my eggs in one basket. But once they get into range, couldn't the Guardian just take them out, too?
I don't think any number of fighters are going to do much good against that thing, said Romeo.
Veronica understood what I intended. We don't need them to actually hurt it. We just have to distract it while we get the other ships, the bigger transports that can carry more people, repaired and on their way. The longer they can hold out, the better. The mayor winced. You want us to abandon the planet itself? It's either that or live here under Cortana's thumb, Veronica said. If that's what you're up for, we can leave you here to it. But if you're willing to run, we're willing to risk our lives to help you with that. Just what do you get out of this? I already told you that the tech hiding Cassidy 3 can't be moved off planet. Have your researchers bring every bit of information they have. Maybe Virgil can puzzle something useful out of it.
That seems like kind of a long shot.
All we have left are long shots, I told her. She seemed to appreciate the grim honesty. Then we might as well take them. All right, Veronica said. That sounds like a plan. Mayor, get your pilots together. Whoever you have who can fly those fighters of yours. Gretchen and Dutch, get them loaded into the Condor, and as soon as Virgil has that bird ready, get it into the air.
What about the rest of us? Romeo said. I'm not going to just sit here and look pretty all day.
More screams began to erupt from all over the city. We snapped our heads around, and I spotted bright flashes popping up at multiple angles across the hall.
Portals! Veronica shouted. The Guardian's bringing in help!
Forerunner soldiers emerged from the pulsating holes that sprang from some distant system through an enigmatic slipspace passage that defied human technology. They poured out in droves, their guns blazing, filling the sky with fiery blasts. Romeo, I said, I think you have your answer as to how the rest of your day looks.
Chapter 17.
Move, 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 I shouted. Sadie, get to the Condor and help Virgil get that bird operational. Dutch, snag our weapons and bring them out here. Romeo, Veronica, Mickey, let's keep the mayor safe. Virgil, if you can step it up a bit, I'm sure we'd all appreciate it.
Sadie sprinted toward the Condor. By the time she got there, Dutch was already heading our way. Meanwhile, the mayor's escort had set up a perimeter around us, ready to take out any Forerunner soldiers that came our way. The park had otherwise emptied. All the civilians had long since stopped gawking at us and fled. The sight of the Armagers was too much for many of the locals, who'd never witnessed anything like them. Some ran away, while others raised quivering rifles in their direction. A group of Forerunner soldiers charged into the park from the north, and the mayor's escort opened fire. They didn't do much more than get the bad guys' attention. Romeo, Veronica, and I peppered them with pistol fire, knocking a couple of them down. With help from the locals, we took them all out. That's sure to bring more of them our way, I said. We need to make a move. Dutch raced up to us as the last of the Forerunner soldiers fell, and he started tossing us our rifles.
You seriously think we can hold off a force like that? Mickey said in disbelief. With only what we have in the Condor?
We'll do fine until our ammo runs out, I said as I checked the action on my rifle.
And what about me?
Mickey said to Dutch, who hadn't thrown him a weapon. Dutch shrugged at him. I didn't see anything in there with your name on it, he said, before racing back toward the Condor. I flipped Mickey my pistol, and he caught it in midair. I'm feeling like this might not be entirely adequate, he said. And I'm feeling a little naked out here without a shred of armor.
What kind of armaments do you have that we could borrow? Veronica said to Mayor Wells, who had taken cover and was trying to use her calm.
Guns and ammo we have plenty of, the mayor said. Follow me.
She took off at a trot, her escort falling into step around her, covering her route as well as they could. Veronica, Romeo, Mickey, and I pelted after them. It was a risk to leave the Condor. But Dutch and Gretchen were there, and that would have to do. There was no way we could help defend the city with the Condor's arsenal alone. We left the park, emerging onto one of the high roads. It was filled with utter chaos. Forerunner soldiers were popping in and out all over the place, and the people were doing their best to resist them. Some of the Armagers were still coming here through fresh portals. The rest of them were just teleporting about, leaving fiery streaks behind them as they went. Whenever they found a target, they blasted away at it until it stopped moving, and then they moved on to whatever was next. They were like fierce, hive-minded insects working in vicious, coordinated droves. "Light 'em up!" Mayor Wells shouted. We began blasting away at every Armager in range. We threw loads of lead and knocked a bunch of them into pieces. The trouble was that they kept coming. As soon as we'd get a breather, a new round would pop in through a fresh set of portals, and we'd start all over again. "We need to move," I said. "We keep doing this, we'll be bogged down forever." Mayor Wells nodded an acknowledgement to me and signaled for her soldiers to head out. "We're heading for the first precinct," she said. "Let's go." We charged toward the central Forerunner Tower, cutting through soldiers that crossed our path as we went. About a click along the raised road, we came to a building on one side that stood out from all the others. It had been built out of solid concrete and featured only tall, narrow windows, like arrow slits from a medieval castle. "Nice fortress," I said as we ran up to it and cleared away a few Forerunner soldiers who were making a run at the place. A dozen or so locals dressed in dark blue armor greeted us with wide eyes and suspicious stares as we strode up. I have no doubt that they would have fired on us if the mayor hadn't been leading us. "These assholes are our new best friends," Mayor Wells shouted at them. "Get them what they need to help us defend our city. Mostly we need ammo. If you have any heavy weaponry, we could use that too." I tossed a thumb in Mickey's direction. "And if you're hiding any extra large suits of armor back there, this guy could use some." A large bearded man with a big badge on his helmet, signifying him as the chief, stepped forward. "You got it, Mayor," he said, pointedly ignoring me. He might have to help me out, but he wasn't about to cede me any authority. He began barking out orders to his people. "Alpha Team, stay at your posts. Beta Team, get these symbols of oppression all the bullets they need. And Gamma Team," he pointed at Mickey, "go grab the biggest suit of powered armor we have and see if you can squeeze him into it." The officers burst into action with a ferocity I had to admire. Alpha Team consisted of about half the officers there, and they spread out and kept blasting away at any of the Guardian's friends moving our way. Meanwhile, the four people who made up Beta Team identified our weapons and started shoveling ammunition in our direction. The last two, who must have been Gamma Team, grabbed Mickey and hauled him into the station. My first thought was that I should follow him in, since I knew it was unwise to let a prisoner out of my sight. Then I realized that we were far beyond that point. If Mickey just disappeared, then to hell with him. I had a job to do if I wanted to get my team off this rock, and I couldn't be babysitting him every step of the way. While we waited for Mickey to get suited up, Veronica and I helped defend the precinct house. As we did, Romeo arched his neck around to inspect what kind of weapons the officers had stacked up in their lobby. "Anyone by chance got a nice sniper rifle handy back there?" he asked. "Doesn't matter what kind." Someone tossed him an M99 Stanchion, a Gauss rifle that hadn't been in production for years. It was a powerful long-range railgun used by recon forces during the insurrection. "Old school," Romeo said with an appreciative smile. "This'll do." When Mickey finally showed up, he looked like a full ton of soldiers stuffed into a half-ton suit. It was an older variation on ODST armor from the beginning of the Covenant War. The armor didn't fit him properly, and there were a few cracks in it that left him exposed here and there. But it held together well enough. It apparently even had an exoskeleton to shore up his frame and give his muscles a little boost, although nothing like that of a Mjolnir. Still, it made me uneasy. The last time I'd seen Mickey in armor, he'd had a gun to my head. But I wasn't sure I could live with myself if he got killed, because I'd dragged him all the way out here and thrown him into a firefight with no protection. It was just a risk I had to take. "You look better than I would have guessed," Veronica said. "How's it going back there, Dutch?" I said into the comm. "Virgil's nearly got it sorted out," he said. "Internal power's already on, and I'm using the guns to clear out the area in front of us." "Just need to get the engines running," Gretchen said. A dull roar almost cut her off. "Whoa! There they go." "Good deal," I said. "Get your butt in the air and come on over and pick us up, all right?" "Got it.
Locked onto your armor's coordinates, Gretchen said. We are on our way.
I glanced down the street. The Guardian loomed off to the side of the central tower. It seemed to be entirely uninterested in us, just floating there like a gigantic judge waiting for us to do something wrong. I suppose it didn't need to be doing anything to us directly. It had hundreds of Forerunner soldiers at its command for that, and they were converging on the precinct house from both ends of the road. The rebels that stood between us and them were trying to hold them off, but one by one they were either getting killed or running off.
Mayor Wells, Veronica said, have you been able to contact your fighters yet?
The mayor had been standing in the doorway to the precinct house the entire time, taking pot shots at any Forerunner soldiers that managed to get close enough while she tried to hail someone on her comm. She might not have been out on the front lines, but she wasn't hiding under her desk either. She understood the role her people needed her in, and she was determined to fill it.
Our comm system is still down, she said. If you can spare that Hurrigach for a moment, we could use its help.
Gretchen, Veronica said into her comm, we're going to clear out the space in front of the precinct house for you. Once you get here, open the back ramp. Dutch, you escort Virgil and Sadie into the station while the rest of us provide you cover.
Got it, Gretchen said.
Heads up then, because we're incoming.
Romeo, Mickey, and I stepped out from the reinforced front of the precinct house and let loose at the incoming Forerunner soldiers with everything we had. Together, we worked like the well-oiled machine that Alpha 9 had once been. I had to admit, as much as Mickey had burned me, I missed working with him and Romeo. We'd pissed each other off something terrible over the years, but man, we had a hell of a team. If you'd asked me years ago which one of them would have gotten me mad enough to consider murder, my money would have been on Romeo. More than once I'd wished that he'd been the traitor rather than Mickey. That would have been so much easier to deal with, if only on a personal level. I already couldn't stand Romeo most of the time. I respected him, especially his ability as a soldier, but he often rubbed me the wrong way. Mickey, though, I got along with. Out of all the members of Alpha 9, we'd been the closest. Romeo had worked with Dutch before they'd joined up with Alpha 9, so they were longtime pals. When Mickey became part of the team after that, he and I had naturally gravitated to each other, which was why all of this made me so bitter. And his betrayal hadn't been just a dirty turn of events. I also hadn't seen it coming. Mickey had groaned about the UEG sometimes over the years, and he'd even complained about us being sent to go fight humans rather than the Covenant, but I'd never added everything up to see it all as a strain on his loyalty. I'd thought our friendship would supersede any other concerns. The fact that I'd been wrong had rocked me to my core, and I couldn't escape the thought that I'd been his leader. I should have seen it coming and done something to prevent it from happening. But I hadn't. In some ways, that was on me. It had taken me a long time to heal from that, to learn to trust my own gut again. Veronica had been a huge help. With her, my instincts were never wrong. Working with Fireteam Osiris had been a great experience as well. Locke, Vale, and Tanaka were always consummate professionals, true pleasures to fight alongside. But they didn't quite feel like family. Not the way Alpha 9 did. Of course, this family wasn't ever going to be the same, though. I glanced at Mickey as we moved into action, spreading out so we could clear a spot for the Condor to land. Not going to shoot me in the back this time. I never actually shot you anywhere. Wasn't for lack of want. We have plenty other targets at the moment, he said. Once we run out of them, I'll let you know how I feel. Despite that, Mickey and I fell right back into our old patterns. I stood up front and took the brunt of the incoming fire with my Mjolnir armor and tried to shoot as many of the targets as I could. When there were too many of them and they got too close for me to handle them all, Mickey leaned out from around me and laid into them with a borrowed shotgun, blowing the soldiers to pieces. Although this would have seemed like a bad thing if you'd asked me 3 hours ago. The best thing about the hole in the wall was that just about everyone in the city was armed and ready. There were people sniping at the armagers on the road from every open window lining the street. Most of the attacks didn't do a whole lot of good, but there were dozens of rebels opening fire. Probably hundreds down the length of the street.
With odds like that, it seemed like the front might have a chance to prevail. At least for a moment. But the Guardian evidently wasn't satisfied with sending in a single battalion of Forerunner soldiers. More and more portals opened up throughout the city in waves, and I found myself wondering if the thing was going to depopulate all of Genesis just to take us down. The Forerunner soldiers kept on coming in an endless stream. It didn't matter how many we shot down or how hot our gun barrels got. There were always more. "We're going to run out of ammo before we run out of targets," Mickey shouted. "More ammo on the way," Veronica said. She and Romeo had been working together on the other side of the clearing we'd made. "One good thing about the front," I said. "They've been prepping for an invasion since they got here. They just thought it would be by the UNSC. It was about then that parts of the city began exploding around us. The Guardian now apparently wanted to get into the fight itself, and when it did, it was unlike anything I'd ever seen. The construct fired converging beams from two floating elements that rose out of what would be the machine's back, which I could now see were cannons. These both focused on a point directly in front of the Guardian, building in intensity, until they formed into a pulsating beam. Maybe it was plasma, or a shaft of hard light, or a stream of particles. Given the weapon's speed, I couldn't tell. Either way, it packed one hell of a punch. Wherever the beam landed seemed to disappear in a deafening blast of debris and smoke. Entire buildings vanished in its glare, and the seismic aftershock felt like the planet itself could be completely torn apart. "We are in a world of pain," Mickey said as we witnessed the destructive force of the Guardian. "How are we supposed to fight against that?" It was like watching a Covenant capital ship glass a planet with its ventral beam. Anything you could throw against it would be like tossing pebbles into the sea. It wasn't even going to notice. Even the Forerunner soldiers stopped to watch. Gretchen took advantage of that moment to slide into the clearing we'd made, setting the Condor down right in front of the precinct house. The back ramp came winding down, and Virgil and Sadie slipped out of the ship and sprinted for the station's front door. A full squadron of helmeted personnel came charging out in the other direction. "Who are they?" I asked Veronica. "The front's pilots," she said. "You think those ships on the other side of the world are going to fly themselves? Mayor Wells had them prep while we were waiting for Gretchen." "Great. Because I got the feeling that we're not going to make a lick of difference fighting from down here. Not against that thing." "Got some passengers for you, Gretchen," Veronica shouted into the comm. "They have the coordinates you need. Get them there as fast as you can. Drop them off and then hustle back."
"You got it, Captain."
"I'll stick with her and work the guns," Dutch said. "Roger that," I responded. She'd need the weapon support, even if it meant we'd lose Dutch on the ground. "Now what?" I asked Veronica as the pilots piled into the ship and the ramp hauled up behind them. "Now we get your Huragok over to the front's airfield and get him repairing their transports," Mayor Wells said as she emerged from the precinct house. Overhead, the Guardian kept blasting away at different areas of the city. At the moment, it was preoccupied with other threats, but it would only be a matter of time before it came after us. "I'm calling for a general evacuation," the mayor announced to anyone within earshot. "Everyone who can get off the planet should do so as soon as they can. We represent one of the last remaining front settlements free from the tyranny of these machines, and we can't afford to lose that in this fight, as much as it pains me to say it." "You were right, Captain Dare. This isn't about the front anymore. Humanity can't afford it." "That Guardian's not going to just let us fill up transports and rocket them out of here," I said. "It'll blow you out of the sky before you can enter slipspace." "Like I said, we need to distract it," Veronica said. "I don't know if you've been paying attention," Mickey said, "but it's leveling this city and not even breaking a sweat. How exactly are we supposed to distract it?" "That's why we need the front's fighters," I said. "They might be able to lure it away." "Exactly," Veronica said. "The trouble is that they'll have to get close enough to get its attention, and then they'll have to jet out of here before it can reach them." "That's a tall order," I said. "What do you think, Mayor? Your flyers got that in them?" "You won't be able to stop them from trying," she said. "Not if they think it'll help get people safely off planet." "All right," I said. "The moment they get in the air, send your three fastest birds over here to try to lure the Guardian away. Hold the rest in reserve just in case. No sense in risking them all on this. That's not your decision to make, she said sharply. It's mine. You worry about shooting whatever's in front of you, and I'll determine whether it's worth it or not to risk my pilots' lives. Got it?
I granted her that with a firm nod. Can you get us to your airfield?
Wherever it is they're running the evac from.
Already on it, she said.
This isn't my first time evacuating a planet.
Seriously?
You don't want to know.
And we have a ride ready for you,
Sadie called from near the precinct house's front doors. She waved us over and pointed us to one of their moving platforms. Virgil was floating over the middle of it, and as he made one final tweak, it hummed to life.
Good work, Mayor Wells said grudgingly.
Now all you fascists climb on board.
Veronica, Romeo, Mickey, and I joined Sadie and Virgil on the platform. Mayor Wells climbed on after us, along with three of her top soldiers. That filled the platform to its edge. I had those of us in armor each take an edge of the platform so the others could use us for cover. At the mayor's signal, Virgil moved the platform out. We swept along the raised road again toward the tallest spire at first. When we got close, we zipped around its perimeter until we reached another spur that raced straight away from the bay. Virgil had done something to soup the platform up, and it moved along a lot faster than before. I worried that we might crash into something, but there weren't a lot of other options. We blasted away at the armigers as best we could, but mostly we tried to keep them away from us until we could sail past them at top speed. As we went, countless locals took advantage of the momentary distraction we offered. The moment the Forerunner soldiers turned toward us, the citizens poked rifles out through windows and shot them in the back. While I appreciated the hand, I couldn't help but think those people should all be on their way out too, or at least preparing to surrender once we were gone.
Are you planning to do something to convince these people to give up and head to the airfield? I asked the mayor.
Evacuation beacon is lit, Spartan. Everyone you see fighting out there isn't planning on leaving. This place was their life. They don't have one outside of here. Plus, we don't have room for everyone on those transports. They know that.
I turned back to fire a few rounds into a cluster of armigers. Feels like the same stubborn behavior that got them here to begin with, if you ask me. Running to fight another day is better than not having another day at all. They of all people should know that.
You'd think this whole situation would give you a bit more sympathy for the front, Mickey said.
Just hand me one of your revolutionary tracts. I'll promise to read it later.
I'm not joking.
That's the worst part.
You have a large, powerful organization that wants to tell you exactly how you're supposed to live your life. And if you refuse, it attacks you and destroys your home.
Sound familiar?
I'm sorry, I said.
I can't hear you over the sound of how you used this same line of reasoning to turn on me.
Well, that and the Forerunner soldier that teleported right next to me on the platform, practically coming down on top of me. Another one of the things had blasted away at me hard just before that and ran my shields down. This one landed on my back and knocked me to my knees.
Mickey blew it away with his shotgun, knocking it clean off me.
I watched it tumble to pieces on the roadway as the platform kept rolling along. My armor's diagnostics reported that my jump jets had been damaged, but I wasn't worried about that at the moment. I mean, what was the chance I'd need them?
You're going to have to get past all that at some point, Mickey said.
It was 3 years ago. I didn't say thank you to him, or anything else, for a long while. We just kept shooting our way toward the airfield, one block at a time. When we finally had a breather, I said, Mickey, I might get over this, but that's not going to happen today.
I'm not asking for forgiveness.
Good, because you're not getting it.
But maybe a little understanding.
I shook my head as Mickey blasted apart another Forerunner soldier with his shotgun.
You're an idiot, I said. A stone-cold idiot, you know that? I always understood you. I knew why you did what you did. I just didn't agree with it.
He seemed surprised at that.
If you say so.
I would have been happy to talk with you about it. We could have sat down and beaten the topic to death over a few beers any time you wanted to.
But instead, you went and kept it to yourself. You let this garbage fester in your brain like a disease you were too ashamed to talk about, right up until it poisoned you entirely.
until you were too far gone for anyone to do anything about it.
It's cute that you think you could have saved me from waking up to what the UEG was doing to its own people. I would have liked to at least have the chance, but you kept it from me. I was surprised that talking about it still hurt as much as it did.
We were brothers in arms, Mickey, and you pissed on all that for some noble cause you made up in your thick head.
Made up? He gasped at me.
You think I made up the front?
You sure romanticized it. And yeah, you made up your involvement in it.
To you, it felt like you were doing the right thing, and you sold me and Romeo out. What the hell is noble about that?
I didn't. You could have just gone over to the other side. Left a note in the barracks. I would have said, wow, I can't believe he went and did that. Oh well, I guess he had to do what he thought was right. You know?
Yeah, sure.
I would have been disappointed. Angry, even. But not livid like I am now. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm done with you guys. I'm going along with these idiots over here instead. It's another thing entirely to sell your friends out to those idiots.
Mickey squinted at me, his jaw flexing as I spoke.
When I was done, he growled, if you had decided to switch sides, you would have done the exact same thing. No way. I never would have turned you over to people who would have tortured you, imprisoned you, and probably killed you in the worst way. Tell yourself that if it lets you sleep at night. But you know it's a lie. I could see, finally, the airfield's traffic control tower emerging from behind some shorter buildings that had been closer to our vantage point. A few columns of smoke rose into the sky near it, probably from aircraft that had gone there to make a last-ditch effort at landing. But the tower itself seemed intact. It gave me hope for the rest of the facility. As we got closer, the concentration of Forerunner soldiers thinned, along with any hint of the locals, almost as if the mayor had ordered her people to try to lure the invaders away from the place. I wondered how many people from this world we'd save, if most didn't seem willing to respond to an evacuation order. I wondered if those folks believed they'd lose more by leaving this place than if they stayed around, even if they wound up under Cortana's thumb. Virgil brought the platform down a ramp and headed toward a wide road that led straight to the airfield. Besides the tower, a terminal sat off to the left, and a series of hangars sprawled to the right. For all the chaos we'd seen in the city, out here it seemed as quiet as a park.
You done? Mickey said to me.
For now.
Good.
Because we still have a colony to try and save. At least as much of it as we can.
Chapter 18. The platform ground to a halt in front of one of the hangars, and we followed Mayor Wells and her escort in through a set of doors that stood next to a massive, shuttered pair of hangar doors towering several stories into the air. We found ourselves in a well-lit, large-domed warehouse that protected half a dozen large transports from the elements, along with a dozen smaller ships, not a single one of which bore a gun mount, much less a missile tube.
They really did have their best ships half a planet away, Veronica said. I had hoped you were bluffing.
I actually was, but it didn't matter.
The ones suited for fighting that we had around here were in the air when the Guardian blacked out the power, Mayor Wells said. This is all we have left in the city.
Most of the ships looked like they hadn't been used in months, maybe years. Many of them had been built before the war.
Creaky, Romeo said.
They'll still make slip space, the mayor said, assuming your Hurricane there can get them running again.
Get to work, Virgil, Veronica said to him and Sadie, and move as fast as you can.
The Hurricane floated directly toward the nearest transport, and the people milling about parted before him as if he were radioactive. That's when I saw the people who were willing to leave this world, and they were more than the city streets had shown. Just about every square meter of the hangar that didn't have a ship in it was crammed with citizens of the whole. From outside the building, you might never have known they were there, which was probably the point. They didn't want to attract any Forerunner soldiers if they could help it. The people weren't exactly soldiers. There were hundreds of them, maybe thousands,
They ranged from grandparents in wheeled walkers to infants in strollers, and everyone in between. To look at them, you wouldn't have been able to pin many down to having come from a particular planet, much less a single section of Earth. Despite that, they all looked like they belonged in the hole in the wall. It was something in their style of dress, the suspicious look in their eyes, the set of grim determination in their jaws. One thing that was immediately clear was that there was no way all of them were getting off the planet that day. There were more people there than spaces on those birds. Heads turned toward us as we entered. In our armor, we Spartans didn't have a prayer of blending in. Most of the front stared at me and Romeo with naked hatred. After all, we symbolized the UEG, a government that they'd all come here to escape. That we were there when their home was being invaded could not be a coincidence. They assumed that the disaster had ridden in on our coattails, or vice versa. Mickey, on the other hand, actually generated cheers when he removed his helmet. Maybe at first it was the fact that he was wearing a suit of armor from their police force, but once they recognized his face, the dots started to connect. Mickey had a reputation with everyone in the front. The first people who saw him for who he was smacked their companions on the shoulder and pointed at him. Smiles instantly spread on their faces. They were in too grim a situation to feel relieved, but they were nonetheless thrilled to see him, and they passed the word to everyone around them. By the time we'd made it halfway into the building, a murmur was running through the crowd. Everyone seemed wary of me, but they were giving him approving nods, one and all. I wasn't sure he noticed until I saw his face starting to turn red from all the attention. The mayor and her guards led us to the nearest transport and ordered the people there to clear the way so Virgil and Sadie could get to work. "The sooner we let this creature work its magic, the faster we can get out of here," she shouted at them. That got people moving. With that done, Mayor Wells turned back to us. "I'm going to have to start picking who gets to leave with us," she said in a hushed tone. "We don't have an established protocol." Veronica nodded in sympathy. "Concentrate on getting scientists and leaders off first, plus their families if they have any. They're the real hope of the front. Actually, they're the hope of humanity at this point." "Of course," the mayor said. "I'm also going to put our best soldiers on board. Better they're out there fighting rather than having to lay down arms here. After that, I'm not sure how much room there's going to be." She frowned so hard I wondered if the lines it caused on her face might become permanent. The weight of it was starting to hit her. Some people of the hole would have to stay, either fighting the Guardian and its forces to the death, or kneeling in surrender. "We're done with one ship," Sadie called out. "Heading over to the next." A roar of excitement went up in the crowd, and the people parted once again for Virgil to move on. "Excuse me," the mayor said to us as she left for the first ship. "I have to go save some lives and break some hearts." As we watched her go, Mickey said, "UNSC's not winning many friends today." "We're doing the best we can," Veronica said. Mickey chewed that over for a moment. "I know. Any idea where all these people are heading?" Veronica chuckled. "Believe it or not, the front has decided not to tell me. They seem to think that sharing that kind of information with an ONI officer isn't in their best interest." "But how are we going to link up with them later? Isn't the whole point that we get them out of here so we all have a fighting chance against Cortana?" "Apparently, they'll be happy to inform Mickey of their plans. They believe that might ensure that we keep him alive." "I'll be happy to pass all that along," he replied. "As long as you promise to keep me out of a brig, or any kind of prison for that matter." "I think that was the plan in the first place," I said to Mickey. "Was it?" he said, with mock curiosity. "We didn't haul you out of the training station just so we could put you back in a cell." "You may believe that, Buck, but the UNSC is a big organization, and to be blunt, you're not in charge of it." "Fair enough," I said. "Go ahead and use whatever imaginary leverage you think you have to keep yourself from going back where you belong. But do me a favor and write that information down someplace just in case you get killed." "So I can practically guarantee I get killed? Come on, Buck. As much time as you've spent with Veronica, I'm surprised you don't think more like a spook yet." "What's your excuse?"
When you spend 3 years in jail, paranoia starts to come naturally.
I'll take your word on that.
At a hand signal from Veronica, the three of us followed.